You can be seated. I want you to join me now welcoming all of our locations in Somerset, Williamsburg, and here in London. And those of you joining us online, we're so glad that you're with us. How many of you in here would say, Brad, I love bread. I just love bread. Man, I love bread. I like hot bread. I like yeast rolls. I like cinnamon rolls. I like cornbread. I like hot water cornbread. I like crackling cornbread. Come on now, somebody help me. If you can't worship in the music, you can worship in that. Come on now. I love it all. Jesus in John 6, and if this is your first time or first time in a long time, we're walking through the Gospel of John, and we're learning about who Jesus is. And in John chapter 6, Jesus begins to talk about himself, and he begins what is one of seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. Now, when Jesus says, I am, that is the Hebrew word Yahweh. He is saying, I am really God. I'm not a part of God. I am God. I am not created by God. Somebody help me. I am God. So Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am this divine carbohydrate that can satisfy you down to the deepest part of your soul and life and dreams. I'm it. And Jesus says this in the midst of a journey that he's taking people on. People by the hundreds and thousands have begun to follow Jesus all over the countryside. The crowds pressed against him so much that he transported himself from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the other. And people made their way the long way to get to where he was. Jesus had been healing people that were sick or blind or deaf. Jesus had been helping people who were crippled to stand up and walk. Jesus had been touching the lives of people. And people were following him. Now, Jesus understood the heart of people. And Jesus begins to challenge them. Because Jesus just doesn't want to heal you. He wants to build you. He doesn't just want to save you. He wants to disciple you. He doesn't want to just set you free. He wants you to learn how to live free. Are you with me? Come on now. Following Jesus is not just fire insurance. It's a new life. And Jesus knew these people that were following him, for them, this was a transactional relationship. Have you ever had transactional friendships or relationships? Where they are your friend because of what you can do for them. You do this for me and I'll do this for you. Boy, I've had them as a pastor. Are you kidding me? Oh, yeah. I'll be your friend if you will treat me special. That's transactional. Hey, I will be your friend if you will bring me in to speak. I'll be your friend if you'll support our mission work. Transactional, are you with me on this? I'll be your friend if you keep helping to pay my bills. I'll be your friend because you're my boss. Transactional. You do, I do. You do, I do. And Jesus knew their heart. He knew they were coming to follow him because of what he could do for them. They were coming to be healed. They were coming to get better. They were coming to be set free. They were coming and they were saying, Jesus, because you will do, we will do. And as long as you do, we will do. And Jesus knew this. So Jesus says to them, you're only here today because of what I can do for you. Now think about Jesus. There's a great crowd. know many people with a great crowd that would challenge them in the teeth like that. I mean, they got momentum like crazy. The crowd's great. Jesus says, I know why you're here. I love you, but I know you're here because you're wanting me to do something for you. You see, where Jesus was taking them is, I want you to be here for me. Whether I help you or not. Whether I heal you or not. I want you to be here and to want to be here for me and me alone. And he says, I'm the bread of life. You're looking for me to do something, but I am something. I am something that's more than what I can do something for you. Who I am is the bread of life. Not physical bread. Physical bread can only sustain life. I am the bread of life. I create life. And so they go back and forth. And they're like, okay, we'll believe you're the bread of life. Just show us a sign. Now, they just saw Jesus walk on the water. They just saw Jesus feed 20,000 people. They just saw Jesus do other things. But yet, Jesus, show us a sign. Another sign, show us. Jesus, if you will do this for me, I will be faithful to you. If Jesus, if you'll bring me a husband, I'm your girl. You bring me a wife, I'm your man. You bring me a job, I'm all with you, Jesus. I'm with you. If you will heal me of this cancer, I'm with you. If you will set me free from my financial situation, I'm with you. Jesus, I'm with you. Sound familiar? See, transactional relationships are only as good as the transaction. So Jesus goes back and forth with them. And then we pick it up in verse 60. Look what he says. Because Jesus, like, I'm going to get into this, but Jesus said some very harsh words to them prior to verse 60. Many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? See, Jesus didn't just give fluffy words. Jesus was gun barrel straight. He wasn't worried about offending. He wasn't trying to offend, but he wasn't worried about offending. He was straight. Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining. So his own team is complaining about how bold Jesus is. So he said to them, does this offend you? Are you offended? Because I called out the transactional relationship? Does that offend you? Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but some of you do not believe me, for Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe. And he knew who would betray him. Then he said, that is why I said that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me. At this point, his disciples turned away. His disciples turned away and deserted him. The crowd doesn't always grow. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. Today I want to speak on this title, counting the carbs. Say it with me, counting the carbs. One more time, here we go, counting the carbs. Number one, I need to count his words. Jesus said prior to verse 60, he said, I am the bread of life. Unless you are willing to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you're not my disciple. Now, by the way, that verse right there is what many early Christians were put to death for, because they were said to be cannibals because they would eat the flesh and drink the blood. It's not talking about communion either. It's not communion. What he's talking about is this. Just like you eat physical bread, you take that cornbread and it goes down into your body. He goes, I want you to want me, and I want you to want all of me, where you are not satisfied with anything less than me. I want you to want me. I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me regardless of what I do, regardless of what I give you, because I am worthy. If I never did another thing for you, I am worthy of your total, absolute devotion. Don't just follow me for what you can get. I love to bless you. I love to do it. But like any parent, we don't want to do for our kids so our kids will love us. We want our kids to love to be with us whether they get a toy or not. Whether we pay something for them or not, whether we bless them with this or not, we want our children to be with us, and we are made in God's image as parents, and Jesus is the same way. I want you to take it in. Now listen, here we go. Jesus said he loved people enough to tell them hard things. Just as a parent, you tell your children not to play in the street, and you discipline them if they do. Not because you're mean, because you love them. You teach them how to work, not because you're mean, but because you know the world is mean for people who don't work. You teach them how to persevere through hard things, even though they want to quit and they don't want to stay with it. And you make them persevere in the midst of difficulty. Why? Because you love them. And life is full of more difficulty than blessings. And you have to pursue through difficulty. Jesus loved us enough to tell us hard things. Let me say this. Jesus' words to us will confront the idols in our life. You follow Jesus the remaining days of your life. I promise you over and over again, the Holy Spirit will confront the idols in your life. He'll confront the idol of your image, the idol of your looks, the idol of money, the idol of a husband, the idol of a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, the idol of a job. The idol of being bitter. Whatever I love more than I love Jesus, he will confront it. Boy, I've had that happen in my life so many times. I had to confront the idol of pastoring a big church. That was my dream as a young guy, like any young guy in the ministry. I didn't just want to pastor a church with a few people. I wanted to pastor a lot of people. And I found myself, as God began to bless my life, that became an idol for me. Not the people. It wasn't the people's fault. It was my fault. And I struggled to be like Jesus, that when the crowds came, I struggled being gun barrel straight with them, because the crowd was the deal. And I was more concerned with building a big crowd than building big people. Somebody help me now. Now, I love people, and I love to see great crowds come. I do. I'm not saying I don't. But where I am today, I'm more into building big people. I want to build big people that want to follow Jesus more than anything else in their life. Crowds come, crowds go. Disciples remain. Amen, that's right. You with me? Yeah. It's easy to build a crowd. And we have great crowds here. We're in a great season and great things happening. We could bring Tom Brady in today to speak. We'd have a great crowd. But a great crowd is not a great army. It's an audience. Which brings me to number two. We must count the choice to stay. Will you? Aaron walked away. All these people he had healed, he had touched, he had fed. When Jesus raised the bar of commitment, hey man, wait, whoa, I'm out. Hey, as long as you're talking about how to have a stress-free life or how to have a better marriage or how to be a better parent or how to have a blessed life, I'm all in. Pastor, you talk about money? Bye, 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 I'm out. You're gonna talk to me about commitment? No way. Ba ba ba. I'm out. Went like this. Ba ba ba. I like that. Britney Spears. Was that Britney Spears? I don't know. That was before her time. Was it? It wasn't Britney Spears. NSYNC. All right, there we go. There's a '90s kid right over there. I got you. All right. Look at verse 66. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted. And then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? See, Jesus loves you and I enough to let you leave. I'm going to say it again. Jesus loves you and I enough to let you leave. Why? Because in leaving, you will discover he was what it was all about anyway. And as you leave and you keep eating stale bread and it continues to dissatisfy, you will see in your own efforts that Jesus alone is worth everything. Right? And here's the thing, Jesus knows not everybody can take the heat. Jesus knew there will be a price paid to follow him. Not long after this, Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you got to be willing to take up your cross and follow me. People knew what a cross was. It wasn't a necklace. It was a one-way trip. You carried a cross to be nailed to the cross, to die on the cross. You want to follow me? Take up your cross and follow me. So when Jesus says, do you also want to walk away? He's like, I'm worth it. I'm worth it. But don't make this decision flippantly, because it will cost you. Count the choice to stay. Let me ask you this. Are you considering walking away because Jesus isn't acting right in your opinion? Are you considering walking away because something rubs you wrong that Jesus is doing? Or something wrong that Jesus hasn't done? He loves you. He loves you. He treasures you. And saying yes will cost you. It will. But saying no will cost you more. Jesus said this, when a man discovers a treasure in the field, he will sell all the other real estate that he owns to buy this one field because of the treasure that's in that field. Jesus said, a pearl merchant who sails the seas to find valuable pearls, when he finds this pearl of great value, the old King James said, the pearl of great price, he will sell every other vessel. He will sell every other pearl so that he can have this one pearl. The field, the treasure in the field wasn't the field, it's Jesus. Amen. The pearl of great price is not the pearl, it's Jesus. See, where he wants to bring us, he's okay starting out with, hey, come and see. Come and see. Come check this out. Come and see. Remember he told his disciples to tell them to come and see. Come. Jesus is great and he's okay with starting out. And for some of you, that's where you are today. It's just come and see. And we're glad you're here. And you're checking out church and you're checking out Jesus and you're coming back to church for the first time in many, many years. And we're so glad you're here. But he loves you too much to leave you in that spot. So Jesus has a process of taking people like you and me from come and see to come and die. If you're going to follow him, it starts at come and see. You get invited. A friend brings you. You're going to check it out. You're going to give Jesus a chance. That's awesome. But he doesn't leave us there. It starts at come and see. And he leads us to a point that it's come and die. Die to everything else but me. And I will in turn satisfy the deepest longings in your soul. Amen. Number three, I need to count his true worth. Look what Peter says. Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter saying, Jesus, worthy is your name. Where can we go? What you've deposited into us, we can't find it anywhere but with you. You're worthy of it all. Before you are all things, and to you are all things, you are worthy of it all. If we die, we die. Jesus, you're the Holy One of God. If it costs us our families, Jesus, you're the Holy One of God. See, this has been the superpower, if you will, of the church throughout history. See, we're in a very unique season, a very young season as a church in the West. In the West, especially in America, it doesn't cost us very much to follow Jesus because of the freedoms that we have, and I'm thankful for that. Now, sometimes you have family members get mad at you and push you aside. I get that. But for most of history, and for most Christians today in other parts of the world, it cost them significantly to follow Jesus. Big time. We had a guy come to Life Point in Tampa. He was from Saudi Arabia. He had moved to go to school. He married a girl in America. She was a Christian. She brought him to the church, and he gave his life to Christ. We baptized him. Now, in Saudi Arabia, it's illegal to be a Christian. They will behead you for being a Christian. So when he told his family that he had chosen to follow Jesus and we baptized him, they disowned him. They basically had a funeral for him. He was dead to them. Well, he began to grow and he started to come and see, and he began to grow and develop. And he came to a point, he said, can I come meet with you? So he and his wife, Mariana, they came and met with me, and he said, Pastor Brad, all of my family is lost. They are locked in the lies of Islam. And he said, I have to go back. My father is dying physically. I must go back and tell my father about Jesus. And his wife, understandably so, she didn't want him to go because she knew if he goes, his chance of coming back are very minimal. And I said, man, listen, if God's telling you to go, you obey him, but make sure you count the cost. You got to count it. You got to look into your wife's eyes. You got to look into the eyes of your children. Don't make this decision on emotion, because there's a very good chance it's going to cost you. That's what Jesus was saying. Well, he ended up going, He shared the message of Jesus with his father, his mother, his brothers and sisters. God protected him, and he made it back home. That's what Jesus, like, listen, am I worth it to you to risk it all? Am I worth it? Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Look, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless. When compared, see that word worthless right there in the Greek language translated into English is a cuss word. Paul used a cuss word. When compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, everything else is garbage. I'm in prison. I am about to be beheaded by Nero. And I have found that everything else is garbage compared to knowing Jesus. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Notice back in verse 8, he says, the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He said, you are my Lord, my leader, my King. See, we can be most satisfied in Jesus because he knows what we really need. See, Judas never knew him as Lord. The Bible says he only knew him as teacher. But Paul and Peter knew him as Lord. So how do we do this? Let me give you some practical things real quick, and then I'm going to close it out. Here's how you discover the worth of Jesus in your life. It's just like, how do you discover the worth of somebody that you're going to date and eventually marry? You have to approach them. So here's some practical ways that you can live out what Paul did, you can live out what Peter did, and you can live out what Christians have done through the centuries. Choose a time and a place where you go every day. It can be a closet, it can be a bathroom, it can be a bedroom, it can be your car, it can be your office, it can be your backyard, it can be the streets of your neighborhood. Choose a time and a place. Not just time and place, but give yourself, number two, some space. Don't rush it. You don't have to go for an hour, but don't try to go for 10 seconds. Give yourself some room. Get up a few minutes earlier. Take a longer route to work. Walk an extra half a mile. Time and space, time and place, give yourself some space. This is in the space is where you can read the Bible or listen to it. In the space is where you can read books about Jesus or listen to them. And then pray. And praying is not to be complicated. It's like talking to your parents or talking to a friend. Jesus said, I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Just talk to him. Time and place. Give it some space. Pray. And then obey. Time and place. Give it some space. Pray, obey. Do this one, ready? Time and place, give it some space, pray, obey. Let's do it again. Time and place, give it some space, pray, and obey. Here's what you'll find. The more time you spend with him, the more of him you will experience. The more time you spend with him, the more of him you will experience. Steph and I had a great privilege of working with a wonderful couple in Dallas, Scott and Valerie. You ever meet people that when you're around them, you just think they're just better Christians than we are? Anybody ever known people like that? I mean, I meet people, most people I meet are like that, okay? They're just better people than I am. That was Scott and Valerie. Scott and Valerie found out as a young couple that they couldn't have children biologically because of just some medical issues. But they wanted to have a baby. So they kept praying through what to do. And they found a little boy in Haiti who was disabled and special needs. He was a baby that nobody else wanted to adopt. See, Scott and Valerie had a dream, but they found that to follow Jesus, they had to die to the previous dream. They adopted little Luke. I remember when they got Luke, he was just a baby, and they were so excited. And over the years of being their friends and then working with them, eventually we got to see Luke grow up, and now he's like in high school. Sweet kid, very affectionate. Then Scott was our campus pastor in Plano, Texas, and there was this young man that came. He was a young high school student. He came. His name was Max Riley. He started coming. Some friends from his school invited him. And the church was doing Christmas for people in need. And they found out about this kid who came from a very dark home situation. And so Scott and Valerie said, we're going to adopt him. And we're going to do Christmas for him. And so they got the money together. They go to his house to give the Christmas presents. And they find out he's got all these siblings and no daddy and mom's a train wreck. And these kids don't have anything. They're going to be another statistic if somebody doesn't step in the fray. And Scott and Valerie said, we're going to adopt the kids that nobody else wants. And they adopted all of them. I would watch Scott and Valerie try to manage that whole situation, the stress of it. I would tell him, I'd say, Scott, you're a better man than me. He would say, he's all about the rescue, Brad. He's all about the rescue. Now today, Max is the children's pastor at Fellowship Church. Lex's sister oversees communications. Parker, one of his siblings, serves on staff. Brock serves on staff. And Cash is graduating from high school. Not a bad investment on his life. Amen. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood is worthy of being my disciple. I will fill you in ways nothing else can. Father, we love you. Thank you for today. And Lord, we just thank you for all of our locations and all that you're doing. And Lord, I just pray you would bless the remainder of this service as the campus pastors take the lead there. Bless them, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. I love what Zach said. Didn't Zach do a great job last week, by the way? Phenomenal. Loved it. I watched it again this morning. I mean, if you get to watch it two times, that's pretty good, right? So I love what Zach said last week. He said the altar is where we bring things and we leave them. Like the children of Israel would bring their sins to the altar and leave them. So let me ask you, what transactional things with Jesus do you need to bring to the altar today and leave? What are some things perhaps that you love more than Jesus that you need to bring to the altar and leave? that you don't have to bring it to the altar, but it's a good place. I love what Zach said. You don't have to go to Cracker Barrel to get pancakes, but it sure is a good place to go. We're going to stand together right now with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you say, Brad, I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus today as my Savior, my Lord. I want to give Him all of me. I'm willing to turn from my sin, the ways I've been living, and to turn to You, Jesus. If that's you all over this room, would you just raise your hand right now? Brad, I want to give my life. Thank you so much. Put them up high. Thank you. I want to do it. Won't you pray with me right where you are? Just say, Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. And I admit that I cannot earn a relationship with You, Jesus. And today, I am repenting of my sin and I'm turning to You, Jesus. And I'm choosing to follow You and You alone as my leader, as my Lord. I ask You to come inside and cleanse me and wash me clean and make me new. Thank You, Jesus. In Your name, amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you say, Brad, I prayed that with you today for the first time, and I surrendered my life to Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want you right now at the count of three to put your hand in the air. 1, 2, 3. Just put it up, Brad. I prayed that with you. Thank you. Give my hand, guys. Thank you. So the altar is open like it is every week. What do you need to leave here? What do you need to bring and leave it here? So as the team leads us, I want to invite you to come right now. Just come right now and just bring it to Jesus today.